All right. I saw the swivel hips. You swivel hip people just going crazy out there. That's Thad Jones. But he'll be heard a little bit later on trumpet. This was recorded in 1957 for the album After Hours. Thad Jones is on trumpet, as I said. Kenny Burrell on guitar. Paul Chambers on bass. Arthur Taylor on drums. Frank West on tenor sax and flute. And Mal Waldron on piano. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And welcome. If you are a first-time listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. Love having you on board. So today we're going to take a different turn. We can't overdose on this bizarre situation that we find ourselves in with regard to the coronavirus. It's gotten me to the point where, you know, like the old movie, somebody says coronavirus, and then I go, slowly I turn. And I'm conditioned now. Anytime I hear it, I just want to fight. I just want to be grumpy. You know, it's a sick situation, pardon that pun, that we're in. But believe it or not, what I want to talk about is, ready? Divorce. Yes, that other institution. They say marriage is an institution, but who wants to live in an institution? We are treated now to an almost daily diet of the pending divorce between Bill and Melinda Gates. You know, come on. They want a divorce, get a divorce. You have more than enough money to have 10 divorces. Go ahead. If it makes you feel better, just go ahead and get it done. But please spare us the details. We don't need to know. But the media is all over that one. Is marriage as we know it overdue for an overhaul, considering that between 40 and 50% of U.S. marriages inevitably will end in a breakup? That's according to the American Psychological Association. And the fallout isn't just limited to previously married couples, but also to the entire socioeconomic systems to which they belong, and in which they supposedly have been active for many years and is built around them. If that is in our not too distant future, by that I mean divorce, those of us who are married, I should say, let me change it, those of you who are married or in some kind of relationship approximating marriage, how do we prepare? Do we do something with this information? Do we have it in mind, even as we, you know, trek up the altar to do the dastardly deed? What are we to expect? How will family life change? How will our own lives and attitudes change? In light of this pretty dismal and alarming prospect of most marriages basically crumbling and inevitably crumbling, what is to become of this institution and its role in society, its role in creating families and communities? What's going to happen if we
don't do something. But then again, the question is, what do you mean by what? Why don't you do something? How do you do something about a situation like that? 888-874-4888. Most societies today, I would venture to say, are experiencing marriage breakups like they have not before. People are getting hitched, and before you know it, they're getting unhitched for all kinds of reasons. And it's something to take a note of, actually, because it will have, and it already has begun to have, a profound impact on what we call society. All societies are affected by the breakup of marriages. Is it because we have too many high hopes in marriages, or do we have too many low hopes about marriages? Does marriage work? Why then is it such an integral part of society as a whole? So much resting on the stability of community, the stability of family, the whole business of raising children and communities, all rests on the basic premise of people getting hitched up. But as the American Psychological Association and others note, marriages are breaking up at a significant rate. And in the mix of all of that, not only are the principals involved, but children as well. And we haven't figured out as a society exactly how we're supposed to act or react. What are we supposed to do about a statistic like this? What can we do? Do you think we could do anything about that? Or is it figure it out yourself as figure it out yourself as you go? It seems that is the ultimate advice. You just have to figure it out.
Because as a society, a so-called democratic society, there are places that governing structures and people with authority aren't supposed to even get close to. Stay out of my business. Let me handle it. I don't care whether you like the way I handle it or not, but this is none of your concern. A marriage just reaches the point where it does not work. It does not fulfill all those wonderful hopes and dreams and aspirations that people had in their heads as they're walking down the aisle. Sometimes I have been to at least two weddings where people walking down the aisle or up the aisle, whichever way, they look like they're reconsidering. Some grooms look as if there is just a tiny door open where they could bolt through, they seriously would consider it and get out of this marriage. And sometimes it's the woman who looks forlorn. She looks like life is done. She is already over it, and she hasn't even begun married life. So, but it is a serious question. If, for example, our society in the USA is predicated on this whole thing called marriage, why? We're told it creates stability in life. It creates stability in community life, in the lives of children who are born into such a relationship. And much is riding on marriage producing a scenario in which you have very stable people coming together, having a very stable life,
as table children. But it's not necessarily so. With 40 to 50% of marriages happening today, ending in a breakup. Should we care? Should it concern us? Couldn't we just say, well, they didn't make the right decision and move on? Or is this supposed to give us pause to think about the consequence of being so casual about a very, very deep and concerning decision? I don't know that I want to be involved in people's marriages and, you know, persuade them to reconsider or to patch up. I don't want that. I just do not want to be close to anything like that. I just want to go about my business. And hopefully, you know, they could figure out what they have to do and life goes on. But this is becoming a significant factor, not just in the United States, but in societies generally. Some societies tolerate marriage breakups far more easily and readily. Others are very adamant. There will you marry, it's like a chain around your neck, and you wear it until you die. I don't know. But I do think it is something to think about when we talk about the future of a nation, or even just bring it down to the smallest or the most the simplest level of what will the frequency, this frequency of breakups, how will it affect the smaller society, the community, or just the individuals involved? And can we tolerate and can we put up with a society where people, so many people are unanchored? They no longer live in the way they imagined living. What does that produce in society as a whole? I know it's a deep question and it came from left field, but we're smart people. We can cope with anything posed to us. We could cope with that. So I'm asking you, you're the expert. What is going to happen, you think, to a society like ours if breakups and marriages get smashed at the rate that they're getting smashed? What are we to anticipate will come out of all of that? Okay? So give us your thoughts. That's why I decided we'll mix it up a little bit today and talk about something, you know, we don't normally talk about. We don't normally talk about this, but it occurred to me when I saw a small article and quoted the American Psychological Association and the statistic of the alarming growth in the United States, but I presume it is pretty much worldwide, a growth, a dramatic growth in the numbers of people just calling it quits. And that's the end of the marriage, but it may not be the end of everything. You see, we now have to think beyond that and come to some kind of idea of how we continue to keep life going as smoothly as possible, especially for those people suffering the heartache of a breakup. So we start off with Ed from Queens. What do you know about this stuff? What do you think will happen? Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello, how are you? How are you doing?
Okay, Ed.
From someone who has jumped the broom twice in my relatively short lifetime, it's a deep question. It's a deep commitment when you enter into a marriage, and personal growth, change, how the other person changes, how you interact, that all goes to how long the marriage lasts. As I said, I've done it twice. I won't do it again. But it takes a lot out of you. It takes a lot out of you. And you've got to be equally yoked, as my father would put it. You've got to be equally yoked in the relationship, because marriage is more than love. It's more than Cupid's arrows and flowers. It's a team effort. It's a commonality that both partners should share, or should come to share, and that's how a marriage lasts for any considerable length of time. You can't have opposing. There can be opposing viewpoints, but there can't be opposition at the core. Marriage is the beginning of community, and you've got to share a common vision, and it's difficult to sustain because a lot of people are not what I call right adults, and sometimes it takes you a little while to realize that in certain situations. So that being said, I mean, I really don't know what's going to become of this society without marriage. I don't think it's that crucial of a factor. I got a lot of nephews and nieces, and I speak to them. They're of their 20-somethings and their 19-somethings, and they don't even see the value of it. I mean, they don't even, half of them don't even plan to get married or to continue to be married or even think about the institution on the whole. I think it's lost its potency. I think it's lost its iconography. I think that it's become a vessel of the past. I mean, really, I mean, there are different relationships now. There are different entanglements that people acquire over time. Children are a factor. I've always believed that it's the best place for a child to become a right adult is in a marriage, but that's also changing. So it's an interesting societal dynamic, and I don't know how it's going to turn out. Totally honest.
Well, thank you for your words of comfort.
Sorry, I can't cajole you. I mean, I've been there, done that. And
you're getting us started. Henry from Chicago. Do you believe that marriage, as we know it, as an institution, will necessarily change so as to head off perhaps negative consequences that we are seeing in our society? Henry, you there? Okay, call back.
Hello?
When?
Hello?
Henry, yeah, there you are.
Yeah, hey, hi, Idris, how you doing?
Okay. Do you think as we understand, expecting everybody to say, yeah, I understand it, which is a total lie. Nobody understands it. But do you think marriage will go through some kind of change in terms of the concept and how we look at it and regard it?
Well, I don't know. Utrice, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm you're kind of muffled on your end, so I just want to let you know that. I mean, I could hear you a little bit, but you're kind of muffled on my end. But as far as the question about marriage, now, me as a person who's only been married one time, currently I am going into my 16th year of my marriage, and I still am learning about this institution. But I think when you talked about the divorce rates and the chances of marriages, not lasting as long as they should, I think that's endemic to what our society is today about, you know, rugged individualism and, you know, how we as individuals value more about ourselves than we do about other people and particularly our community. You know, the smallest building block of establishing community is a marriage, is a bond, because that is the staple of a family. And as I stated before, families are the ones that strong families are the ones that build strong communities. And so,
when you say marriage, I just want to get some clarification here. Everybody is supposed to be a church anointed couple, or is it marriage itself? You're redefining it.
Well, see, that, and I think that is the issue that we're having today, because, you know, you got to understand that marriage is an institution that's been around for, you know, as long as we've known human civilization. So it's been around long before, you know, the big Abrahamic religions that we know of in Judaism, Christianity, and even Islam. So it's been around for a long time. But many societies and many civilizations have used marriage to their benefit, to, you know, and
yeah, so. We lost Henry.
Can you hear me?
Henry is not there. Yes, I can hear you now, but you kind of disappeared on me there for a couple of seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, like I said, I barely can hear you, so your sound is kind of muffled. But I don't know if you lost me when I said marriage is an institution that was here long before the big Abrahamic religions in Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And many societies have used marriage as a builder of their society. And it's very layered when you're talking about marriage. So when you're talking about the economic benefits, the family benefits, because, you know, one of the simplest forms of marriage is to bring families together. And I think too many times we look at marriage individualistically, you know, as some kind of private, you know, some kind of private thing, where marriage should be more of a communal thing. And I think one of the reasons why marriage is not, you know, stressed or advertised as something good, especially in the Black community, is that we don't see a lot of successful marriages in our communities. I mean, you know, some of the people that we know who, you know, been married for 50, 60 years, you know, those people are kind of dying off right now. And so now we're getting to a point where we're seeing couples that are, you know, kind of like in their fifth, sixth year marriage. And then we do see some of the, you know, 50, 60 year couples. I'm kind of like in an anomaly where, you know, I'm going in my 16th year of marriage. And there's not too many people or not too many couples, especially in Black communities, that are going through their 16th year of marriage. So it's something that when you don't see a lot of marriages, it kind of discourages a lot of people not to get married.
But let's look at the figures that I quoted from the American Psychological Association. It seems almost that you have to assume if you got married today, it probably wouldn't last, or it would undergo such strains from other forces and influences that you probably wouldn't enjoy being married.
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. I like I said, I could hardly hear you. Can you repeat that again?
I was saying that it seems, if we take this figure that I quoted from the American Psychological Association to heart, it seems should be expected such serious challenges to their marriage. It may not work out.
I'm sorry, Utrice. You had cut off at a major part of your question. I can't hardly hear you. I'm sorry I can't answer that question.
Okay, I'm sorry, too. I don't understand what's going on in your end. You need to throw away your phone. You just need to get a brand new phone, or you need to move out of Chicago.
Oh, my God, I heard that one.
Buy a new phone or move to Chicago. Oh, you know what your problem might be? You probably have to do some auditing of your marriage. Maybe there's somebody messing with your volume levels. I don't know. But normally, we're joking, but normally we have no problem understanding each other and hearing each other. But I have been very reticent of late with technology. I don't know what is happening. I've talked with some of the providers, and they've done everything possible. And I still keep saying, but it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. And they tell me it sounds perfect. So let's hook up again, and hopefully I sound great, and so do you.
Okay.
Thanks so much, though. Thanks so much for your call. Gwen from New York. What is happening in the United States, you think, around your marriage? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? What is something supposed to change? Is it to get better? What is it?
Okay, first I just want to give you a little feedback on, it's very muffled. I can barely understand what you're saying. So it's not on his end. You also cut out on me. I couldn't hear the last question you asked. It totally cut out. So there is something going on your end of the station. But I've gotten...
The engineer said, you know, saying, I'm coming through just fine.
Well, I guess I don't know. It's something wrong with both of my phone and the other guy, but I can barely understand what you're saying, but I've got the gist of it. So I'm going to do the best I can with answering it, if you don't mind.
No, I think it's fine.
Okay. So I just want to say, first of all, in celebration of marriage, and for those who need examples, my father and mother are David and Gloria Goodwin, and they just celebrated their 76th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
And my father is still in love with the girl. He doesn't want to go out for lunch unless my mom comes. He pines over her if he's like not like right there next to her. And she's still playing like, you know, in a way, I don't think she knows it, but it's of her generation to do the kind of hard to get thing. And so they've had this kind of thing going on for years. And I want to tell you something too, a tip for everybody. My mom and dad did not put the children first. We have five children, and we were told early on, you do not come first, we come first. Because if we don't come first, then you're not going to have two parents that are together. The most important thing is that the marriage stays healthy. And that means that every weekend, my father took my mother out for dinner on Saturday night, and they had they only vacationed. We had two kinds of vacations. One was with us in the summer, but they went on vacations by themselves during the year, and my grandparents would take care of us. And I think that my parents are really wise. I noticed my sister did exactly the opposite in her marriage and really devoted herself only to her children and ended up getting a terrible divorce. Now, me, I got married and I loved my husband, Peter, and I loved being married. It was the best thing I think that ever happened to me. But I will tell you that I waited a long time and I kissed a lot of frogs. And, you know, one of the things that did happen was that I was not able to get pregnant by the time that Peter and I met. But one of the things I think that we had glue that kept us together was that not only were we romantically interested, but we started out at a protest. We were protesting the upzone of 125th Street. And I had no idea this guy was interested in me. And he asked me about the 92nd Street Y. I told him to go to a Pilates class. He called me right afterwards and he said, "I almost died from a heart attack from that. I really just wanted to go out on a date with you." And I said, "Oh, you really should have just asked." But anyway, my husband, as you know, died in 2016. But I have nothing negative to say about the institution of marriage. I think that the stress that comes upon marriage today is because we live in a very narcissistic society. We live we want everything right away, especially younger people do. I meet an awful lot of girls. I have one in my family who wanted a baby more than she wanted anything else. And so it didn't really matter about the partner. It just mattered that she had that baby, not realizing that in so many ways, children do a lot better with two parents. I'm not knocking people that don't have that, but it's very rich if you do have it. And it's not, you know, doesn't mean everything's going to always be great, but I think the institution has been around for as long as it's been around because generally it works. It's being tested right now, but I think what's happening or what will happen is these tests are basically going to fail, and where we'll come through is we'll come back over to getting married again, realizing that, you know what, we tried that other way. It works, doesn't really work that great. And I think that if you want to be married, you have to realize that you're not alone. You know, I strongly encourage you. Do the joint bank account. Do the things together that you need to do together. Because when you're a married couple, you're a team. And there's nothing more wonderful at the end of the day than knowing that you got your best friend next to you in bed that you get to cuddle that night. And it alleviated a lot of loneliness. But, you know, the fit has to be right. And when I met my husband, for me, it was like putting my foot into a shoe that fit the right way.
Did you know that?
Anyway.
You haven't answered the question. You're giving me a testimonial. But the question
right, I am, because I love it.
Where,
and I'm sorry. But
where is society going to be going with the statistics, staring us like that?
I think that the statistics we should not be afraid of, and we should not feel intimidated. I think that the statistic is what it is, and I think, believe it or not, I think that the whole world is sort of in a growing pain. You know how you get growing pains when you're growing up and things aren't comfortable, but, you know, eventually you come to the other side, and I think that there's been a lot of, you know, progress isn't like a push forward. It's a push forward and two steps back. And I think there's so many things that we put out there over the last 50 years with women being able to enter the workforce and realizing they don't necessarily have to have a husband anymore. So, but I think that a lot of people are discovering that they want to have a partner and they all want to have a family. But I think sometimes you have to go through all those other things before you get to the conclusion of maybe I was better off this way. And I don't think that marriage will be over. I think it's getting a kick. I think you have to realize, too, in America, especially in America, we are in such a narcissistic culture. I mean, kids are in love with their phones. They never put them down. They take millions of pictures of themselves, just them, just alone. And so it's really hard, I think, for a lot of kids today to understand the concept of compromise and partnering up. But I think with the failures that come along with living in a completely narcissistic society, that there might be an awakening at the end that says, you know what, maybe the other way was a good way, and we can add these new elements into our marriage. We can bring these new things to the table. But there was one other thing I also noticed, that, like kind of as a statistic myself, is that I noticed that I work in cosmetics, so I meet a lot of girls that are brides, and most of the girls that were getting married were girls that had more money, and most of the girls that didn't get married and had children, I mean, were middle class and kind of less money. And but it seemed like the elite people, their children were getting married, and I wonder if it has to do with money as well, you know. But I would still say, as the testimonial, that I recommend it highly, and I like it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks so much for that. 888-874-4888. We're talking about the unlikely subject of marriage. And where is the nation going? When we read statistics that say, as the American Psychological Association said, most marriages would end up on the rocks. If that is the case, if that is to be expected in the very near future, where does it leave a society, a nation, people who firmly believe in the so-called institution of marriage? What's going to happen now? So we'll take this break, and we'll come back and continue the conversation at 888-874-4888, right after this. To Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about marriage today. And we're trying to figure out what does it hold for the future of the United States? Where does the institution of marriage come in? Is it going to fail utterly, or fail to such an extent it might as well fail utterly because we have so many divorces? How does that impact how we live as a society? If you have any answers, I would love to hear them at 888-874-4888. This is I just heard a beep. Lincoln, you on the air.
Yeah, hello, Eutrice.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm not hearing you too well.
Yeah, I'm not hearing you too well either. I think it's true for everyone. Hello?
My gosh. What's going on? Okay.
I think it's in the system, because you're coming in very, very faintly.
Well, we'll have to take a look at it. But thank you for letting me know. Thank you for letting me know.
Okay, I'll try to make a go of it, though.
Yes, are you sure?
Yes. The lions never leave their pride, and most times the pride doesn't desert the lion, and the lion is with the pride for a particular reason. A big part of it is for protection and for their survival, and likewise, the pride, they have that symbiotic relationship, you know. And I think, so if you take that analogy and juxtapose it with this society, this society is falling into a state of petulance, and it is falling apart. America is falling apart. And the falling apart of relationships is also symbolic of America falling apart. The world is falling apart. The world is falling into self-destruction and disarray. I want to quote three things. One, well, the first quote I did was from Nature, which was about the lion. The next is, I want to make one quote from my life and experience.
Lincoln, I want to know what is your answer. I don't want to know what is the lecture that goes with it. What is your answer to the specific question of what, given the direction, the statistical direction that we quoted at the top of the program, where do you think we have it?
Destruction, self-destruction. Society is being torn apart from its very fabric. And that's why even the LGBT movement, LGBTQRSTUVXYZ movement is gaining such strong ground. It's falling apart.
I don't know that I agree with that statement.
That is one of the signs of it. I'm talking about the way the way it's being pushed, where it's being pushed to like
But you keep going from one thing to the other without giving a straight answer. You know, follow the B line and let us know. But you're flicking from subject to subject, but you're not getting a comprehensive answer from me today. What's going on?
I think, simply put, it is a reflection of society falling apart. Simply put, we've become very petty. You know, we're falling into petulance. Like, you know, yesterday you were talking about the thing with Donald Trump and him, you know, not being on Facebook. That's also petty. And it's the same way, you know, marriage falls apart because of pettiness most times. And because we don't understand that when we're in, we're in. When you are committed to something, you're committed to something. When you're committed to the growth of society, then you're committed to the growth of society. If as a politician you're committed to the people, then you stay committed to the people. And so when people enter into relationships, they should understand that it's with a sense of commitment. But we are being goaded in a direction now where we don't respect commitment. Commitment to each other, commitment to the good of the whole. And it's, you know, it's trickling over, it's overflowing on even our personal relationships. You know, everything is just a quick fix. Everything is like, the immediate high. You know, likewise, it's the same thing with the government. There's no commitment. It's not for the good of all. It's just flippant.
Okay, I have to accept that. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. Yvette from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Where are we going? The question is society. Like anything else, it goes, it's a flow, you know. So right now, everybody is into themselves, or what the other caller was talking about, commitment. But how much commitment does one have to go through, you know? So what happens is, if it's very painful, the relationship, the marriage, then each person has to decide how much agony do they want to endure for the commitment, for the good of the community, for the good of the nation or whatever. And I think a lot of people now just don't have a high tolerance for pain. So everybody,
what we're trying to do is to get a sense of, here's an institution, a venerable institution that's been around for centuries, but it is showing signs that the things that we would take for granted with it
and have been taking for granted that it can get, because we see in statistics that more than half, or at least half, of the people who marry each other should expect the marriage to break up, the marriage to fail. How do we proceed with that kind of a warning? How do we proceed with this thing called marriage then?
Well, for example, I say to my daughters, one of my daughters said, you know, yes, I'd like to get married and I'd like to have children. And I said, and why? Why do you want to get married? So that is the viable question. Why do people get married in the first place? Is it just to say, I have a legitimate child, or is it, you know, I think what's happening now, people are realizing maybe we don't need marriage to attain certain things that we want in life. I was married once, and that was enough for me. I didn't want to go through the legal hassles again. I didn't want to go through lawyers. I didn't want to go through all of that. So I might say, okay, maybe I have a live-in partner. Let's see how that works. And so we're at a stage now where people are questioning, why do we need to get married? Long years ago, women used to get married because they needed someone to take care of them. Most women today don't need a man for them to survive. So once we start asking those types of questions, then you're going to see maybe the numbers even go higher for divorce, because the whole thing is the woman would say, do I need to take this? No, I don't. And here we go into the divorce phase. But my question is, why do we need to get married in the first place? And that's my question to my children. What is it that drives that need? Do you feel, is society telling you that? For sure, I'm not telling them that they need to get married at all. So I think that's the question. And I think for society, we're just going to have to see where that's going to take us, because as we allow women to be more independent and to have their own, like say, for example, my daughter, she makes a very good salary. She has her own apartment. She bought all her furniture. She's done all that. Now all you need is the man. What is that? What does that mean? I'm just like, so what is that question that you need to ask yourself before you just try to place a man into that setting? It's not a good one, I don't think. So for society, I just think that.
As a mother of daughters, what does that hold for the future? Are you hopeful about the future?
Am I hopeful about the future? Okay. As the other caller had said about the destruction of this society, yes, I think it's going down. I made my apologies to my children for even having brought them into this mess. But I also understand that we're in a life journey, and wherever that journey takes us, we're just going to have to buckle up and get ready for that ride. And that's what I'm trying to fortify my children to kind of be ready for whatever life brings you. And that is where we are right now. I think that just telling people, oh, you need to get married. Why? Why are you telling them that? For what reason? What is the need now? Do we have that need or the necessity that we had hundreds of years ago? No, I don't think we have that same need. And for the people who say, okay, you know, I think I'm going to get married. I'm getting older. I need to do this. And then they get into it, and then it's like, what the heck did I just do? And I think as people become more aware of what that means, I think they jump back. The numbers are most probably going to go higher than 40% to 50%, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right.
Well,
well, thank you so much
for the interesting question. Really had my mind going there for a minute.
For your answers. Thank you.
Okay.
Ali from New York, you're on the air. What is this question?
Yeah, Yatriz, we could hear all the callers very well. It's you who's having the problem. You get cut off. But I just had to be, I know I don't have a lot of time, and I hope the callers could hear what I'm going to say. The first thing that I'm going to say is that I'm in an interracial marriage. I have been married for 36 years, and I hope that I'm married a little bit longer. yes, and we have a struggle. The problem now is people are greedy, and I have, with all my respect to the lady who just called, she actually said it. What her daughter needs after she had her own job, her own apartment, her own furniture, a big salary. And I will tell you this, if you have a partner and you don't struggle, you will never stay together. And the biggest problem that they have in this country right now, and I'm saying this country because I have traveled to Europe and I, you know, Latin America. You go to restaurants in this place and you see couple walking on the street. It's unbelievable. Both of these people, or even when they have four people, all of them, they are on the phone. So I'm wondering if they already have known each other very well, or the phone is the thing that they are getting so used to and compatible with.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm saying, oh, Bill.
No, sir, I'm expecting that you're going to declare a campaign against phones.
Yeah.
Change your marriage, so, dump your phone.
Yes, and you see it here in New York. You see, I mean, couples sitting on the table, and they are holding the phone and texting or reading messages. And I'm just saying to myself, I easily tell my husband, I said, I thought that these people, they're supposed to spend time together when they are on a table. And, you know, when I go out with my son is 30 years old, I easily tell him, I said, you can't be on the phone on the table. And if he's here and we're having dinner, I tell him the same thing. And he told me when he goes out with a woman and she is involved on her phone, he knows that that is not the woman for him. He could tell that right away. And that is a big problem, especially in this country. And another thing is,
what do you think is causing so many breakups?
You don't come in clear, and as an audience, we really don't understand what you're saying on the phone. But I just wanted to say this. I know that you're asking me a problem. One more thing before we finish, because I know there's not that much time. It's another thing. I will tell you this. When I had my son, it was a decision for me to go back to work or to stay home. My husband had a job making, back in the 90s, over $100,000 with a car, a company car, an expense account with the job that he had. He decided that that job wasn't for him any longer. From that money, he went to a teacher salary without the master. And that was around $26,000. And we struggled, but we struggled together. Because I figured if I went back to work, what would have left? It would have paid babysitter and all that. So we decided that I would take care of my son. And I'm going to tell you, this is the sacrifice that people this day, because the greed is so big. The greed is so big that people, they don't want to share or what I would say is about money. It's about the SUV, the where you live, and going out on the credit card and all this. And you know what? I don't think it's going to work out because it's too much greed going around. And these gadgets, and I starting with the phone, is making people apart. We are not talking to each other. I love to meet people. And I will tell you the last thing that I had to say, my husband and I, we have different interests. I have to tell you. Yes, we do have things in common. I'm an activist. I'm very political. He's not an activist, and he's not political. My husband started voting because I made him, when I met him, to go and register and vote. So there is a lot of things that you have to deal with in order to maintain a marriage. And I will tell you, my son, he kept telling me about all these people, all these kids that he knew from school, and most of the parents are divorced. So it's a lot of things that you have to give and take. But the greed out there, and we are not talking to each other. It's everything is about all these gadgets that we have and what you have.
Well, we Facebook. Have to leave it there. We have
yes.
To leave it there.
Okay. Thank you.
We're out of time. I thank you. I thank you all. I'm very disconcerted about this, the lack of clarity on the phone. I'm going to find a way to get to the bottom of it and then do some kind of trial. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye-bye.